You are listening to the Trinity Presbyterian Church podcast from Petaluma, California. Here is this week's sermon.
We are going through the book of Ecclesiastes, and it is not easy. And some of the passages are harder than others. I try to pick the ones that I think I understand better than others, although I admit to you I do not understand them perfectly by any means. But we can do a good job of comparing Scripture with Scripture and coming up with a fulfillment ultimately in Jesus Christ. I draw your attention, therefore, to the scriptures. There's also an outline on the third part of the triptych. Notes, you don't know much, what you don't know, and what you do know. Let us notice how many times in this passage it talks about what we do not know. Ecclesiastes 1, 1 to 6. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves in the earth. If a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the woman, in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who made everything. In the morning, sow your seed, in the evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Lanza tu pan sobre el agua, después de algún tiempo volverás a encontrarlo. Comparte lo que tienes entre siete y uno entre ocho, pues no sabes qué calamidad puede venir sobre la tierra. Cuando las nubes están cargadas, derraman que se lluvia sobre la tierra. Si el árbol cae hacia el sur o cae hacia el norte, donde cae, allí se queda. Quien vigila al viento no siembra. Quien contempla las nubes no cosecha. Así como no sabes por dónde va el viento, ni cómo se forma el niño en el vientre de la madre, tampoco entiendes la obra de Dios, el creador de todas las cosas. Siembra tu semilla en la mañana y no se des reposo por la tarde, pues nunca sabes cuál siembra saldrá mejor, si esta o aquella, o si ambas serán igualmente buenas. This is the word of the Lord. May you bless it to our hearts and lives, and let's pray. Give us, Lord, a knowledge of your truth. Help us to be humble in the things that we really don't know, and to rejoice in the things that you've told us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. No one really likes a know-it-all. Somebody who thinks they know everything, and I'll tell you, a lot of times, that's all of us, or each of us, at various times in our lives. If you're a student, teachers dread the student who's always raising her hand. Ooh, 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 I know, I know, I know, I know. Just be quiet. Let somebody else answer the question, Hermione. Please don't be a know-it-all. Or the guy at the party who's always giving his opinion about politics and life. And economics, and science, literature. It's a problem, because we do know some things, of course. We don't know as much as we think we do. Why do we not like that guy who knows it all, or thinks he knows it all? Because it's just not true. It's a matter of pride. Many of us say we want to know it all. We want to always have a ready answer. We never want to be able to say, I don't know. God doesn't like it either when you're like that. He wants you to know that he knows it all, truly, completely, sovereignly. You don't know much, as it says repeatedly in our text. If you look at your outline, we have four different areas that you may not know much about. About provisions, about rain, about wind, and about a woman with child. But I like to study science. I go to lectures at the California Academy of Sciences. I read books, watch videos. I like to think that I know a lot. I really don't. When you get right down to it, scientists are a pretty proud lot. Let's start with physics. You ever have any studies in the field of physics? What is dark matter? Maybe you've never even heard of it. The problem is we kind of know it's there. We don't know how to measure it. I don't know what the point really is. How will the world end? With a bang or a whimper? Is light a wave or a particle or both or neither? How about string theory, summarizing all basic particles as vibrations? I don't get that. Do you? We can't detect or experiment on these things many times. We're just guessing. What causes gravity? I mean, I think it's one of the strangest things there is. Every little particle of matter attracts other particles of matter to a very small amount. You can see it in the planets, around the sun, the moon, around the earth. You can see gravity at work, but where is it? Can't touch it. How does it happen to be there? It's a mystery to me. Without gravity, we'd be floating around in space, and who knows where we'd be able to stand. Order in chaos. It just is very confusing to see how the world works, and therefore you physicists don't know much. How about biology? I always found it to be mysterious, way beyond me. I prefer the chemistry and physics, but either way, we don't know much. How did life begin? I don't think there's any way that scientists can really legitimately say it all happened by chance. How does your brain work? Are you more than the synapses in your brain? Are you just a bundle of electrical responses and impulses randomly come together so you can think somehow? Is there other life out there somewhere? We guess. We don't know. Can there be other than carbon-based life forms? Star Trek says maybe it's based on some other element. Who knows what a living rock would look like? Well, you biologists really don't know much either. Chemistry was my field. I still don't know much about it. How many elements are possible? Did you know they keep making new elements in the laboratory? How many can there be? How do molecules form? What about enantiomers? You know what an enantiomer is? That's a fancy word I can use to impress you. It's a mirror image molecule, right or left-handed enantiomers around a central carbon, numbering by the least to the greatest atomic weight around the central carbon. And you can have a right hand or a left hand molecule, like a right hand or a left hand glove. Did you know that? And if you have only one possible in a certain place in an organism, why is that? You chemists don't know much either. We may not even understand the questions, much less the answers. And how do you find out how much or how little you know? Well, you're going to take a test today. A series of tests to see how much you know or you can do. These are famous, humorous, final exams in various disciplines. Perhaps you've heard of them. Final exam in biology, you walk in, the paper says, create life, mutate a new life form. You have 2 hours. Engineering, some of you are engineers, the disassembled parts of a high-powered rifle have been placed on your desk. You will also find an instruction manual printed in Swahili. In 10 minutes, a hungry Bengal tiger will be admitted to the room. Take whatever action you feel necessary. Be prepared to justify your decision. Medicine, oh, maybe some of you are medical. You have been provided with a razor blade, a piece of gauze, and a bottle of scotch. Remove your appendix. Do not suture until your work has been inspected. You have 15 minutes. How easy is that? Metaphysics, describe in detail the probable nature of life after death. Wait for it. Test your hypothesis. Maybe not. Music, write a piano concerto, orchestrate and perform it with flute and drum. You will find a piano under your seat. Religion, perform a miracle. Creativity will be judged. And my favorite for extra credit, describe the universe and give 2 examples. Who is the only one who could even conceivably approach passing these examinations? Of course, we know it's not us. You don't know much. I don't know much. but God knows everything there is to know. You don't know much, but I say to you, so what? You don't need to know that much. You need to know the God who knows everything. You don't know much, but simply read God's word, do what it says, believe and trust in him, leave the rest up to him, and tell your scientist friends to do the same. We do live in a time of uncertainty and ignorance. And everybody also always says in these days, follow the science without describing what science really is, or what's the scientific method, and pretty soon we give up and say, maybe there's no such thing. What don't you know? Well, the first thing you have to do is admit that you don't know something. That's hard to do. It's a sign of humility. You know, when your kids, I did this all the time, but your kids ask questions you don't know, you make something up. They didn't appreciate that as they got older. Wait a minute. You should have said, I don't know, or look it up, or whatever it is. It's kind of a hobby we have, pretending we know more than we really do. Jeremiah said, I can't speak very well. Moses said the same. God says, who made your mouth? Great answer. But then I will give you also Aaron to help you. So he conceded the point to Moses. First thing you don't know is about provisions is verses 1 and 2 and verse 6. I'll read them again. They go together. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on the earth. Speaking of bread, then seed, verse 6, in the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. You just cast your bread upon the water. We don't know what's going to happen to the crops tomorrow. I'm suffering from allergies because we had a tremendous amount of rain. This past spring, the atmospheric river flowed over the area, and all of the grass pollen and tree pollen are just floating everywhere, and I'll tell you, it hit me bad this week. But we can't control that. Same thing if you sow a field with seed. You can't control how much rain there's going to be. So just do it and depend upon the Lord to provide the increase. The same thing about anything that we own. We do not know what we will have tomorrow, but God says we have enough for each day. Do we think we should be talking here about wise investments? I don't think so. It's just talking about how we do not know what will happen in the future. Maybe it means to help others. Cast your bread upon the waters. It's possible that has to do with sort of an oasis where you leave your bread and take the older bread that was left there by the previous people that visited the oasis, and you leave your bread instead of taking it with you, so the next person can benefit. Maybe. That's pretty good. It says you will find it after many days. So be generous, you could also say, possibly. Psalm 112 says, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever, his horn is exalted in honor. You see, it's God who gives us all things. We may be generous, but God is the uber generous God. He gives to everybody everything that they need and more. Although we do have problems with the things that we get. Let's say it's Christmas time and we get a new jacket and the zipper breaks on the third day. And you're saying, great, what kind of a jacket is this? You get a new bicycle. I used to bicycle all the time, but those bikes will break down, they will rust, they will have some kind of accident. You buy a property, it depreciates. You buy a car, you drive it off the showroom, immediately loses 20% of its value or something like that. Everything we have falls apart. Everything we do disappoints us. We really can't do much either. Everything we seem to have in this life doesn't stay around. We might question God. What kind of a God is this anyway? Well, you don't know much except to know that God will provide. You don't know much about rain. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves in the earth. If a tree falls to the south or the north, the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not weep. Of course, John 3 says the same thing. The wind blows where it wishes, you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. God is doing something we don't know exactly how. You just don't know much. And you can sow your seed. You don't know whether this handful or that handful, this crop or that crop will prosper this year, or whether both alike will be good. And he basically says, do it anyway. The third one I think is very intriguing. It's about a woman with child. You do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones. And the woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. Now, we talked about the fact this isn't a miracle, but it is a wondrous thing, certainly. To be able to conceive a child, that's incredible. It's amazing. Psalm 139 agrees. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your books were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So the Lord knows our days, and we don't. Job chapter 10, very similarly, you clothed me with skin and flesh, you knit me together with bones and sinews. Proverbs often talks about things that are too wonderful, beyond our understanding. Three things are too wonderful for me. Four, I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a virgin. It is amazing. How did you get here? How did you get here? A man and a woman, husband and wife, meet, love, marry, conceive, give birth. Some of you gave birth to children that maybe were 6 or 7 or 8 pounds when they were born. And now look at them, taller than you. How did that happen? That's kind of an amazing thing, isn't it? Do not understand. I didn't get it, but it's true. You don't know much, but you're here. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, he says, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. This is verse 9. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Now, that's an interesting thing. Just because we don't know a lot of things doesn't mean we are to be frozen into indecision. The paralysis by analysis, you've heard of that? I've got to decide everything and how it's going to go, or I'm not going to do anything at all. No, you simply got to do what you think is right. Let's say you are not married yet, and you think back to the time when you proposed to your wife or husband to be. I guess it would be the husband to the wife. How did you decide whether or not to ask her out to begin with? You better decide. Nothing's going to happen otherwise. And what if you ask her out? Is she going to say yes or no? And then later on, when you ask her to marry you, what's she going to say? Are you afraid to ask? Are you afraid to try? If you never ask, you never try, nothing's going to happen. Not to decide is to decide. Just ask the girl out. If you need a raise, you're going to have to go to your boss and ask him for a raise. Not pleasant. What if he says no? How about if you are married and you have many issues in your life? Maybe you have all kinds of problems. Do you fail to admit your fault? Do you blame it on the other person all the time? I know there's two sides to every story. I've done my share of marriage counseling. Typically, a husband and wife both come to me and they want me to fix the other person. They're always pointing to the other person. He did this, she did that. How about if you admit your own faults first? Not easy. You're afraid that might backfire on you. But you've got to do the right thing. You've got to decide to do the right thing. God will work it out. You've got to use the talents and the opportunities that you have, as Jesus talks about in the parable of the talents. Don't bury your talents. Use them, invest them, use them for the glory of God. Make decisions, live your life. This is what Ecclesiastes seems to be saying. But nonetheless, man does not know his time. This is verse 12. Man does not know his time, like fish that are taken in an evil net, like the birds that are caught in a snare. So the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. There are many things the Bible says we do not know. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming, says Jesus. Concerning the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. That's a mystery. But only the Father. To be human means not knowing things. You're not God. Get used to the idea. Isaac says, I'm old. And even then, he didn't know the day of his death. James 4 says, you do not know what tomorrow brings. What is your life? For you are mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And then one of my favorites, Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God. Just leave them there. What belongs to you? The revealed things for you and for your children to do them. We have enough to do. Then try to unscrew the inscrutable, as one of my friends says. You can't understand a lot of things. So scientists don't know much. Teachers don't know much, even though they teach. Pastors and theologians don't know much. And I don't know much either. Just admit it to yourself also. Now, that doesn't mean we can't know anything. I'm not saying that at all. You do know some things. Notice the second point. In the Word of God, you can think God's thoughts after him. You can say this is true. And on your level, by revelation, made in God's image, you can understand certain things. You have fallen into sin, and you're small to begin with, so life is really confusing. What are some things that you can know, and as a Christian, you actually do know, finally, about time, right? The Lord provides. The idea of casting your bread upon the waters, or sowing your seed in the field. Colossians says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. That's your purpose. Not to understand everything, but to live under the light of the revelation of God and do what he says and believe what he tells us to believe and trust what he says to trust and follow him. Be his disciple. Don't be his master. You can't teach the Lord anything. We are so foolish. We are slaves to fashion. We are slaves to fads. We are slaves to opinions of people in the news all over the place. I wish everybody would just be quiet. I'm getting tired of it, as you probably are. Just go back and read the scripture and understand their end. We are ultimately slaves to self and our desires. But where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Jesus says. So make your treasure to be not yourself, but God and his Son, our Savior, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so God provides. Cast your bread. The Lord sends rain and wind, so sow your seed and trust the Lord. Some things we can observe. I have not been a farmer. I am always amazed at how the Lord has provided for our land to be productive. The Central Valley, I guess, is an amazing thing, right? The breadbasket of many people right here in California, but you can't make the seeds grow. You just have to sow your seed when the time comes, and God will provide the increase. How about predicting the weather? I like to make fun of weather people. They're just guessing. They have their charts, their graphs, they have percentages. 10% chance of rain tomorrow, my dad would say jokingly. They got 10 people in the room and one person voted for rain. That's how they got it. But you never know what's going to happen from day to day. If you don't like the weather on one side of the peninsula, go over the other side of the peninsula. Then you'll find different weather. It's amazing. We don't know how to interpret the present time, Jesus said. We study the wind and the rain, but what should we be thinking? Thinking about what God is doing. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans that are too deep for words, as we read from Romans chapter 8. Of course, the Lord also gives new life. We don't understand how the spirit comes to the bones of a woman with child. You don't know the work of God who makes everything, including giving salvation to his own by grace. Genesis 3:15 is called the Protoevangelium, which means the first gospel word. There will be a seed of the woman, a miraculous one, it turns out, born in the Virgin by the Virgin Mary. Talk about a mystery. That conception was miraculous. That birth was based on the wonder of the incarnation. The Holy Spirit would come upon her, and thus he would be called the Son of God. The mysterious work of the Holy Spirit is made to be like the wind. I read it a little earlier, John 3. The Spirit goes where he wants to go. You can't understand it, but he will do his will. That Holy Spirit, by God's grace, has changed you or will change you some more. It's a mystery of love and of power. The Lord, in the last place, gives salvation. So look to him for that salvation. The most basic truth in the universe is given. As I often say in the Young Child's Catechism, who made you, God? What else did God make? God made all things. Why did God make you and all things? For his own glory. And so it goes. The simplest words and phrases are the most profound truths we can know. And God is a rewarder of those who seek him. So become like little children. The great thing about little children, they always know what they don't know. How many questions can they ask? Mom, Dad, what about question after question after question? Why? Because they know they don't know things. And they're looking to their parents to give them the answer. They might not know, but they'll do their best, maybe, or guess. But God knows. So God knows that there are certain basic things we need to do. We need to be faithful, be hopeful, trust the Lord, do your job, and let the Lord take care of the rest. We would love to know the future. There's a good reason why we don't know the future. We've got to depend upon God every day. We will be singing what I think is one of the most appropriate hymns to this passage. I know not why various things, but I know whom I have believed. I do not know about election, but I know the call to faith. I do not know the hearts of men, but I know he grants us new life. I do not know what of good or ill the Lord has prepared for me, but I know whom I have believed. Notice whom, the person. I know the one in whom I must trust. So therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else God will give you when you need it. Shall we pray? Teach us again, Lord, the wonder of your grace and kindness. We ask you to humble us, to keep us from being so smart in our own eyes. Do not, your word says, be wise in your own eyes. Do not lean upon your own understanding. We really don't know very much. So, Lord, teach us to pray even as our Lord taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.